Hello. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I don't have a thingy, so. Right, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see so many people, if a little bit intimidating. So tonight, I wanted to share a story with you. Well, technically, I didn't really want to share it with you, but it was appropriate. So this happened Soul Survivor this year for me, and I know most of you probably won't know this, but I met one of my minor heroes at Soul Survivor this year. I know. And most of you probably didn't even notice it happened, all right? Because it happened one evening when most of you had gone off. Anyway, I'll tell you about that in a moment. So you won't be impressed, okay, when I tell you who it is, because you've probably never heard of him whatsoever. But trust me, for me, it was a big deal, because this year I met the Bishop Graham Cray. No one. Okay, no one. Yeah, kind of expected that. It was a big deal for me, right, because he's like this bishop. But he's written a lot of books about youth work. And so I've read loads of his books. I've quoted them in essays. I've seen him at Soul Survivor doing seminars and leading communion. Yeah, so I was like, it was really cool to meet him. And I'd love to tell you it went really well, but it really didn't. It was really embarrassing. So what happened was we're in the arena after one of the services. And God had met with some of you guys. And you know, he was still meeting them. So we stuck around while the service had finished. But some people were still being prayed for, so we waited. A lot of you guys probably weren't at this point because you went away, and you went and wandered off to wherever you wanted to go, to basement or whatever. But anyway, so we were there, and I was just kind of waiting for people to stop being prayed for, but I wasn't doing any praying because they didn't need me, so it's fine. And the bishop starts walking up to me, and he doesn't look like a bishop. He's not got a hat and everything. He just looks like a normal person that's been camping for a while. And so he walked up to me, and I was just like, oh my goodness, it's the bishop. But I was just like, oh, be cool, just stand there. And so he came right up to me. I was like, oh my goodness, he's actually going to talk to me. He said, so are you with this group? And I was like, yeah, we're just waiting to, you know, God's done what he's doing, and then we'll go. And he was like, oh, that's lovely. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, that's pretty good. Like, that's a good little exchange. I can't wait to tell the young people. They won't be in the slightest bit impressed, but I'll be happy. But then he tried to have a conversation with me. And so he stood there and he said, so where are you from? And I just went, Eastleigh. And I was like, oh, good, I've got to get out. And he was like, so where's that? And I was like, he doesn't know where Eastleigh is. Like, you know, I'm always surprised when people do know where it is, but I was a bit disappointed that he didn't know where it was. So I was like, oh, it's near Southampton. And then I thought, what do I say? You know, what do I say to him now? Do I say, oh, I've read everything you've ever written? I'm like, no, that would be really creepy. So what do I say? Do I say, what's it like being a bishop? You know, all these sort of things. What do I say going ahead? And then suddenly I realise it's been about 20 seconds and nobody said anything. I'm like, oh no. And then that thing happened where your mind just goes blank. And I'm like, okay, this is the longest anyone has ever not spoken for. And I don't know what to say. And so he just went, well, I'll talk to you another time. And then I was like, oh, I'm bright red at this point going, this is so embarrassing. I'm never going to tell them what happened here. But I'd love to say this is an isolated incident, but this happens to me quite a lot when I meet someone that's just even the slightest bit famous, all right? Because he was famous to nobody else. All the young people was like, who's that old dude? But I was like, they were so slightly famous in my mind. I get totally starstruck. I've done it with worship leaders from Soul Survivor and all this sort of stuff. And I was thinking as we were preparing for this service that I've got to get a handle on this. All right, because what happens in eternity when I'm stood there praising God and I turn around and next to me is David, you know, like David and Goliath, David, King David. Am I going to turn to him and go, oh, I've read all your Psalms? No, that's just weird. So I was like, I've got to get a handle on this. What if I'm stood there worshiping God and next to me is Moses, all right, with beard and staff and everything? You know, what do I say? And part of me is like, it's kind of fair to be starstruck by Moses, surely? You know, this guy went up the top of Mount Sinai and got the law from God. He was the one that came down with his face shining. He was the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, let's for a moment, I just want to, you know, show you how awesome Moses is, okay? First of all, let's just have a little look at his leadership, which I would love to emulate, all right? Because at this point, he's leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they're upset with him because they think they're going to die. Okay, this is Exodus 14. It says, they were totally afraid. They cried out in terror to God. They told Moses, weren't the cemeteries large enough in Egypt so that you had to take us out here in the wilderness to die? What have you done to us taking us out of Egypt? Back in Egypt, didn't we tell you this was going to happen?
Didn't we tell you, leave us here in Egypt? We're better off as slaves than corpses in the wilderness. Then Moses spoke to the people. Okay, this is where he's awesome. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. God will fight this battle for you. And you keep your mouth shut. Obviously, it's a paraphrase, but I would love to lead like that. You know, when you guys are like, why are we here again? And as for you, shut up. I bet Geoff would love to lead like that. But wait, because he gets even more awesome. Then God says to Moses, why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. Hold your staff high and stretch out your hand over the sea and split the sea. The Israelites will walk through on the sea, on dry ground. Skipping ahead a bit. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God, with a terrific east wind all night long, made the sea go back. He made the sea dry ground. The sea waters split, and the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground, with the waters a wall to the right and to the left. Like, come on. It's kind of okay, isn't it, to be a little bit starstruck by the guy who stands there like this, stretches out his hand. There we go. And the seas part because of God's power. To have that kind of faith kind of feels like it would be okay to be starstruck. Right? But actually, do you know what? I do have a point, and I am going somewhere with this. Because although this is a fictional problem, you know, when we stand in eternity, I bet we'll be so focused on him, we won't care about who stood next to us. But although this is a fictional problem, there is a lesson here for us to learn. We look at these guys in the Bible, at these men and women, these great men of women of faith, and we look and we see them, perhaps at Soul Survivor, perhaps here, we see them, and then we think, how can I ever measure up to that? But the truth is, when you look at Moses, the Bible doesn't whitewash the fact that he was a broken, ordinary person. You know, you go back a little bit further, and instead of this man of great faith who stands there in the seas part, you see a man who was an outcast, a man who was brought up Egyptian, but he was an Israelite. He was too Israelite for the Egyptians and too Egyptian for the Israelites. And then he murders somebody. You know, this is this great man of faith we're admiring, he's a murderer. And then he runs. Now, to be fair to him, you could call him a coward, but to be fair to him, they were trying to kill him, which that's kind of fair he ran away. But anyway, he ran away. And he spends years in the wilderness. Then he meets God. God is a voice in a burning bush. And he says to Moses, you know, he gives Moses his name. And Moses says, can you send someone else? You know, not only that, but then Moses says, can you send someone else? Because I don't do words good. You know, I'm not a good speaker. You know, he actually tries his hardest to get out of what God is doing. This is the man who stands there and has enough faith to watch the sea part. I love the way the Bible does this over and over again. He shows God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You know, the Bible, I once watched this video, and I'm going to paraphrase it slightly because we've got another video to watch in a bit, called The March of the Unqualified. And today, we as a Pulse Planning team, we wanted to call this evening Unqualified, because the truth is, all of God's people have always been unqualified for the work he wanted us to do. You know, you don't believe me, you go through the Bible, and it's absolutely awesome. You see Jonah, who went and preached to Nineveh, this scary place. Well, he ran from God. You've got Jacob, who was the father to the tribes of Israel. He was a liar, like, badly. He had a real issue with lying. Noah, who saved, well, all of us in some senses, by creating the ark. Well, he was a drunk. David had an affair. Jeremiah, who preached and prophesied, he was depressed a lot of the time. And God used him. You know, John the Baptist was poor. You know, and I love these. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. And Lazarus was dead. So far, you're all doing a lot better than Lazarus. But this is the thing. God takes unqualified, ordinary people, and then he uses them to do amazing things. All he really wants is us to be able to stand there and say, here I am. What are we going to do? And the wonderful thing is that God places the impossible in front of us. And you might think, how's that a wonderful thing? But the truth is, if God had placed something possible for Moses in front of him, Moses could have done it without God. But what God does is places the impossible in front of Moses, so that is when God can do his work. Because Moses couldn't do it himself. It's only through God's power. And tonight, God is asking each and every one of us, inviting each and every one of us into a relationship where he is going to do the impossible. Where he is going to take ordinary, unqualified people and do incredible and extraordinary things. With that in mind, I want to just take a moment to pause, and we're going to invite Genevieve up.